Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
And now I have to ask about the name Zorro. Where did that come from?
Well,
I know where it came from. I mean, how did you obtain that name Zorro? I guess.
Well, it came from that trip to Mexico where I was once I started wearing that Spanish matador hat at home, my mother would say, you know, "Oh, son, you look like Zorro, you know, and you're really like him. I'm going to call you Zorro because the real Zorro, if you study who he was and the history, he was a fighter for the commoner.
That's right.
He was like a Robin Hood of the Hispanic culture. He would always do these noble things in secret to help the underdog, the commoner. Mm-hmm. And that was always my heart since childhood, was that same heart to help people. And it's still who I am. So she said, "I'm just going to call you Zorro." And so I was like, okay. And then it just became my nickname. And then as I, entered the music business and began playing with different groups, people just started calling me that because I wore the hat. They liked it. And then I realized that it caught on and gave me an identity. And it was an identity I was very comfortable with because of who Zorro was and because of my half Hispanic background. Mm-hmm. But I feel like God sort of, somebody prayed over me years ago and they sort of said, you know, I even feel like the name Zorro, God gave you a name that would stand out that people would remember because you would use your name and his name for his glory, you know. And I have more people around the world knew me because of that mm-hmm. name,
yeah.
But I always used it to bring glory back to who he was.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Saul having his name changed to Paul, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I kind of felt it was that thing. God gave me a name that would give me a recognizable platform around the world because he knew the future. At that time, I didn't know that I would be, you know, speaking and preaching all over the world and writing books and touching lives. I mean, I always wanted to, but I didn't have a crystal ball and know exactly mm-hmm. what was going to happen. But he did. So, yeah, so that's where that came from. I mean, by nature, if I were to acknowledge God for what he gave me, I would say he gave me three sort of distinct Bible, biblical personalities. He gave me the spirit of a Barnabas because in my nature, I'm an encourager. Everything that comes out of me is to encourage people. It doesn't matter whether it's speaking, writing, drumming. But also he made me a teacher like Paul. So he's given me the ability to communicate things, to teach people, which is part of being an encourager, but a teacher is slightly different, you know. And mm-hmm. then he also made me a radical evangelist like John the Baptist.
Amen.
So I'm kind of equal all three of those things by his design. And I merely just decided, hey, you know, these are all from him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is really irrelevant. I mean, our gifts and talents are all different because God makes the world diverse so we can enjoy each other. But what's important is that they're all a platform of which to reach and communicate and touch people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter what we do. So that just happens to be mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized, hey, drumming is going to put me before the kings of this earth. It's going to put me before strangers. It's going to put me before regular people. But every day in life, we're before all kinds of people.
That's right.
So I was just faithful to go, hey, everywhere where drumming takes me is an opportunity for me to minister to people, disciple people, encourage people. And there's a certain allure of being sort of a rock and roll celebrity star in the
mm-hmm.
music world that people are attracted to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that. I mean, I let them be attracted to me from the image, the name, the scarf, who I played with. But then really what I'm trying to do is guide them to the light that is in me anyway, which is Christ.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a very easy thing for me to do because he's so entrenched in me that I just want to introduce people to my friend Jesus. I just want to tell you about this man who changed my life and what he's done for me in just a real genuine, authentic, non-religious way. And I have found that it has been very, very effective and grown more and more with each passing day and year. And as I've been faithful with every single little platform that he gave me, he's increased that platform. He's increased the sphere of influence, and he's increased the level of outlets that I have to spread his message. Mm-hmm. But I was faithful with the cardboard box.
Amen.
And I was faithful with the few people he put in front of me. And then he multiplied that to where it's hundreds and it's thousands. But I still never get to the point where I negate small things. In other words, I'll give a total stranger, you know, my time just as much as I would a king of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't view anyone as more important, of a more important assignment than the other. Mm-hmm. And I've never changed in that way. I'm still the same kid that I was growing up. I'm still very childlike, and I still value people, and I still don't give people preference over another person. But and yet I have not been afraid to give those people something and not expecting anything back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, famous movie stars or athletes or whatever, because I realize sometimes they're lonely, and they also don't have people who want to just sow into them that don't want something back.
Yeah, and that kind of takes me in my next question, because there are a lot of famous artists that have made it, so to speak, that are unapproachable. They won't give you the time of day. You know, and then there are those like you that focus on giving your faith away. Was there one person in particular that demonstrated that to you, that you can relate to, and how it impacted you?
Well, I can say that the one person was my mother. That was Amen. The greatest influence in my life. I saw how she always encouraged people wherever we went.
Mm-hmm.
And when she passed away, there was a lot of strangers. She wasn't a famous person. She wasn't a celebrity. She was just a mother. But when I saw strangers, you know, doctors show up, pharmacists, the people that were the secretaries of the doctor's office when she was ill, she would encourage them, and they would go, "Oh my gosh, Maria, we're calling you, and you're the one who's sick, but you're encouraging us." So she was this great, and she had this great, irrepressible, indomitable spirit, and she was able to encourage people, and it didn't matter to her who they were. And the backstory of my mother's life is that my mother actually came from a wealthy, prestigious family.
Mm.
She was the daughter of a Supreme Court judge in Mexico
wow.
City. So
yeah.
she grew up in the lap of luxury, the opposite of the way that we grew up. She grew up going to dinner with people like President Truman and the Mexican
yeah.
celebrities, government officials. She had
wow.
nannies and butlers and maids and servants and tutors. But we didn't have that life growing up, because that had all gone away by the time,
mm-hmm.
You know, her father died when she was 18. But at any rate, she had always carried herself as a person of dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And even though hers was the riches to rags story,
yeah.
you know, my life was the returning the family
riches,
name
yeah.
back to a place
yeah.
of honor.
Amen.
You know, so it's a very interesting paradigm. And I did see, you know, anytime I met like an idol of mine, like I met the drummer of my favorite band was Earth, Wind, and Fire. And at 18, I met the drummer from Earth, Wind, and Fire. And his name was Ralph Johnson. We're still friends to this day.
Amen.
He became my teacher and mentor. Eventually, that led to me playing for Philip Bailey, who was the lead singer of Earth, Wind, and Fire, which was like a dream
wow.
come true.
Yeah.
But Ralph was, you know, a drummer celebrity. And there's a few different people that I saw of how they treated people and how they made me feel,
mm-hmm.
You know, important or loved and accepted. And I just always loved what that felt like. And I wanted to reciprocate and be that way. And then I also realized early on that, you know, life is short. The
yeah.
only thing that matters is how many people we touch and bless along the way.
Yeah.
And you notice when people get to the end of their life, whether they're rich or famous or poor, everyone's thought is, man, did I make the most of this?
Yeah.
Did I should have been more kind. It's like the end of Schindler's List,
mm-hmm.
where Liam Neeson goes, I should have sold this watch. I could have helped more people. I could have saved more people. Like, that's the only thing we think about when we're facing death is what should we have done more? Why
yeah.
did we care about people more? Why were we so self-centered? And like I always say, I never meet self-centered people that are happy.
That's
and
true.
I've learned there's only two ways to live your life. There's really only two. You live a life of self, or you live a life of service.
Mm-hmm.
If you live a life of self, you will always self-destruct or self-implode, and you'll never be satisfied.
That's
but
right.
if you live a life of service the way God intended, you will find significance, you will find your purpose, and you will find a joy that can't be purchased, because our lives were meant to be given away, and we were created. All of God's creatures find their identity in serving. They don't find their identity in anything else. And that's why, whether you're rich or famous, you know, there's two ways those people live. And you don't necessarily have to just be a celebrity. You could just be anybody.
Sure.
And yeah. You could be a nobody and be self-centered.
Yeah.
And so the bottom line is, choose to live a life of service. And there is where you'll find your joy, because like the scripture says, it's better to give than to receive. Yeah. Well, you don't really know what that's like until you learn to give. And when you learn to give and you see the joy that you give people by giving, you know, and you don't have to have something to give them, like a money or a possession. You could give them a kind word. You could give them encouragement. You can give them affirmation, understanding, compassion. So, but whenever you do deposit those things into others, you'll see their life transformed before your eyes, and you'll go, God, that really feels good that I've been given this opportunity. And that's really the joy of living. And when people don't find that, they cease to find the whole meaning of life. And it's very simple. God created us to serve. It's so simple, but we complicate it. And the enemy and the world sells us a bill of goods.
Amen. Now, in your book, Soar, we talk about delusion and things like that. How, I guess, like, you're coming to Baltimore in October, the end of October, for a youth rally on October 28th. For those listening in the Baltimore area, be at the Eastern Assembly of God in Dundalk, Maryland. For those listening outside of the Baltimore area, it's just northeast of Baltimore. Dundalk is like a direct suburb. It butts up next to northeast Baltimore. But when you come down here, it's for a youth rally, because I know your heart is to the youth, to lead them to a relationship with Jesus. But you talk about delusion, and it's especially impactful on our youth today. It's not just the youth, though. I mean, it's the whole generation.
The world.
Can you just talk about the delusion, the spirit of delusion that's on especially the Western society today?
Well, in my new book, it's called SOAR, Nine Proven Keys for Unlocking Your Limitless Potential. And if people are interested in it, they always ask me. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, so that's where it's at. But anyway, there's nine life principles that I teach in the book that it takes to walk out God's calling and fulfill His divine purpose for your life. Because God's a very orderly God, and there's strategy and there's structure in what He does. There's structure in the universe, there's structure in the world, there's structure in human beings. And when we fail to follow that structural plan, we don't get to be all that He created us to be. And we fail in that accomplishment. But I talk about the difference between a dream and a delusion, because God gives men and women dreams all the time, dreams of what He wants them to do, what He wants them to accomplish, what He wants them to build, what He wants them to invent. He gives us dreams. But His dreams are different than our delusions. Mm-hmm. We're living in a society, at least in the West, it's very delusional.
Yeah.
People want to be something they are not. It seems like the vast majority of young people just want to be famous. They don't care why and for what reason. Mm-hmm. They'll do anything to be famous. And a lot of people want to be, you know, a rock star, an athlete, a supermodel, a famous writer, things that they believe bring them fame and glory. And if you have that gifting, and it is a God dream, then great, more power to you. You're supposed to do that, but you're supposed to be a light for the kingdom while you do it. But if you don't have that gift, and you're pursuing that, then you're negating the true gifts God gave you. And Mark Twain had a quote. I have a lot of quotes in all of my books, because I love the power of words. And they're from a wide variety of people, from C.S. Lewis to actors to everybody.
Yeah,
but anyway,
amen.
Mark Twain's quote is, most of us want to be distinguished and praised for the one gift we don't possess rather than the 15 that we do.
Yeah, that's true.
In other words, people are trying to be recognized for something that they're not, instead of looking at, well, here's all the things that I am good at, but they don't like what they're good at, so then they don't embrace it, they don't develop it, and they squander those gifts by trying to pursue nonsense. And again, you know, like an example of that would be like people that go on American Idol that have no ability to sing. So So they're hell bent on wanting to be a rock star singer, but they have no talent for it. And rather than going, hey, you know, why don't I develop what I do have,
yeah,
and maybe I could better serve the world with that. And I believe if we all embrace what we have, even if we don't like it at first, and we just decided, hey, you know what my gift is? I'm just a compassionate person. So if I have a gift of compassion, I'm going to be really good in a lot of settings. But outside of those settings, I won't be very good because I won't be utilized for what I'm really good at. Or maybe your gift is a gift of administration,
yep,
or you're a gift of a leader, or you're just a gift of a servant. Some people mm-hmm. aren't the visionaries, but they just like to set up the chairs at the church. They like to facilitate the visionary's dream because you need both. You have to have a visionary, and you have to have people that facilitate the vision. And those are all different gifts that make the body work.
Amen.
So I just look at it like, hey, we can't all be eyeballs. If the world was just eyeballs, we wouldn't have a brain. We wouldn't have a system. We can't all be hearts. We got to just be the body part that we are in the body of Christ. And then just be the best heart, be the best eye, be the best mm-hmm. kneecap, be the best shoulder. Whatever you are, just be that. But, you know, delusions are just wishful, fanciful thinking. But dreams from God always have structure and substance and blueprints to them. There's Amen. Plans that are laid out over a period of years to develop the things that God has for you. Amen. And they have to be exercised through a structural system of faith and work and development. And most people, there's another quote in my book by Henry Ford, and which has to do with dreams and building things that God has for you. And it says, opportunity, Henry Ford said, opportunity is missed by most people because it comes dressed up in overalls and yeah. looks a lot like work.
That's right. Well, that is absolutely true. It is. People who are, you know, when we see them, we think, wow, yeah, they made it. Well, there is, you know, you talk about Tiger Woods, right? Everyone's, oh, wow, he was a natural. Yeah, but they see the little videos that his mother took when he was like 5 and 6 years old taking golf lessons, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lifelong pursuit, hours
of practice.
Well, you know, and I've hung out with, many famous people in my life, and I've been privileged to learn some of their story and hear some of their insights. I remember hanging with Denzel Washington, and mm-hmm. one of the things he told me is he said, you know, Zorro, everyone knows all the movies that I made because they're out there, but nobody knows all the things I auditioned for and tried and read for and didn't get. Mm-hmm. They don't see the rejection. They only see what you, so they assume that everything in your life was just easy.
Yeah.
And I know that to be true for so many, many people who've ever succeeded at anything. Everything in my life has been met with personal rejection first. Mm-hmm. Everything. There's not a single thing I've accomplished that didn't first start off with a bunch of people saying, you'll never do that. But I was willing to go back, and this is the key, and this is where a lot of people miss it. If you have a talent for a certain thing, and you're trying to develop whatever that is, that skill, that product, that invention, whatever, it's always going to be challenging to refine that thing. And what I find that most people don't do is they don't go back and refine the product, the vision. When it's met with criticism or critique or whatever, people have suggestions on what you should do, people get bent out of shape and they quit. Mm-hmm. Because to go back to the drawing board requires, work and yeah. hard work. And so I always tell people, you must be willing to retool, reassess, realign, recalibrate, because any great invention or idea, or take a movie, for example, or a great novel, man, those things go through so many rewrites and redrafting.
Yeah.
But people, if you're not willing to do that, you're never going to pull out the real diamond that God had. And let me give you a little secret. The joy in life, besides serving people, is in the development of that thing. Because, like, I love when I'm working on a book or an article or a drum piece. I love the process. Once you start to realize that God gave you the process to enjoy life with, because if we didn't have the process, if we didn't have something to go back and retool and rewrite and reassess, and recalibrate and repurpose, then there'd be nothing to do in life. We'd just be bored out of our minds.
Oh, yeah.
But he gives us the work, because the work is where the purpose and the joy is. And it's like that scripture You know, one of my favorite scriptures, Ephesians 2:10, where it says, you know, Ephesians 2:10, for we, you and I, me, you know, Zorro and Bob and everyone mm-hmm. listening, for we are God's workmanship, mm-hmm. created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do.
Foundation of the world,
so right? All the work mm-hmm. that I'm doing, the drumming, the speaking, the teaching, the writing, this podcast, these are all the works that he already prepared in advance That's for right. me to do before I was ever a thought in yep. my mother's belly.
Amen.
He prepared these because he knew that if I would rise up and walk and do that, that this is where I would find my significance, my purpose, my joy, is in the good works that he's already ordained for me to do. But the process is really where the joy is. The process mm-hmm. is rewriting a paragraph, coming up with a better one, or coming up with a better title for your book. I mean, I love those things. But if we don't embrace those things and we have an aversion to them, we'll never be all that he created us to be. We'll never reach our potential. We'll never make the mark we were here to make. And my advice to anybody is, do not forsake the process.
Yeah.
Do not negate the gift and talent he gave you, and be willing to rise up and work hard to turn this rock that he gave you of potential into a diamond that the whole world will then see as a flawless diamond. Then people will be saying, oh, he's just so naturally talented. Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is, we're all naturally talented. So it's a cop-out to look at other people as being talented and ourselves as not, because what we're saying is, God gave those people talents and gifts, and me, I'm just a bum. He gave me nothing, because that's a lie. He gave us equal potential, but it's a potential to soar in the particular area that he gifted us in. And that's where we'll soar, and that's where we'll excel, is if we stay in our lane. But we first got to discover it. But that's why I wrote the whole book, Soar, which was for people to understand. The book is really about three things: how to discover your gift, then the strategy for how to develop your gift, for the reason of how to deploy your gift.
Amen.
Because we're here to discover what we have. We're responsible and accountable to develop it for the sole end of deploying it so that the world might be a better place because we lived.
Yep. And the way I look at it is, if you're doing what God has told you to do, that means you're in the will of God. And God's will be done. It will happen. And just, I'll use the example of me coming to Baltimore. I lived in Texas at the time and did not want to move. I had a good job and I wasn't going to move. My youngest daughter was there. My oldest daughter had married and moved out to Baltimore. My youngest daughter had just had a baby and, you know, my grandson and I'm not moving. I got a good job and I'm not moving. Well, the company I worked for went bankrupt. I mean, it all evaporated within about 6 weeks. And now I'm unemployed trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And my oldest daughter said, why don't you come out to Baltimore? And I'm not leaving where the grandkids are. I'm not doing it. Well, 2 days later, my son-in-law got laid off. Now they don't have a job. They said, well, I guess if we're going to start over, let's keep everybody together as a family. So we packed up, moved to Baltimore. And from the day we got in Baltimore, we could tell the blessing was at work. I mean, everybody got good jobs right away, and God had it all worked out. But it was my stubbornness and not wanting to move that he just evaporated the things I was holding on to. So there is only one decision to make, and that's to do his will. Once I got here, you could see the blessing at work. I have a sermon called Your Place Called There. And, you know, it's taken from Elijah, you know, going before the King Ahab and saying it's not going to rain till I say so. And, you know, God didn't pat him on the back, say, good job, go home and rest. No, he told him, run, boy, go out to that brook and hide. Right? Is I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, he could have said, I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. Well, his provision's out there, not where he was at, you know. So when you follow God's plan, things start to work out for you. And when he gives you a dream and he gives you a vision, that doesn't mean it's going to happen next week. It could be a progression, you know, that you have to walk out by faith. No, I mean, I go back to, you know, he had your sister in Anaheim or in Beverly Hills, pre-positioned, knowing that you'd be down there and would need a place to stay in a couple months. I mean, God had already worked all that out. And it's the same thing, same steps. We got ready to close here, but there's so much more that I could talk about. What we'll probably end up doing is when you come to Baltimore, we'll be doing just a sit down during some of our downtime. We'll do a live one of these recordings with you right here. But
that sounds great. I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I do want to take the last couple minutes to let you talk to the youth in this nation. I know you were at the prayer breakfast and all of that, but I just want you to talk to the youth for the last 2 minutes here, and encourage them and in whatever way the Lord has you do it. Can you do that?
Sure. Well, I would say to each of you that you are here by special design. You are not an accident. God created you. He deposited within you unlimited potential to excel and to soar in a certain area of gifting and talent that he gave you. Your job is to discover what that is. Some of you already know what that is, but you may be afraid to do something with it. Some of you don't know what it is. So I would say pray to God a very simple prayer. Lord, you created me. What would you like me to do with my life? Mm-hmm. Make yourself a surrendered servant to God and just say, Lord, I'm 10, I'm 12, I'm 8, I'm 14, I'm 21, I'm 17. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what you want me to accomplish. I lay my life down before you. Show me what you want me to do with the life that you gave me. Mm-hmm. And I promise you that if you're willing and you are open and you are praying and you are seeking, the Lord will give you direction. It is a puzzle. It is like a labyrinth, and it requires faith and it requires work and perseverance. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you through experience that God has done that in my life, and he doesn't love you any less than he loves me. Every parent loves all their children equally, and God mm-hmm. loves us all equally. Amen. So you have unlimited potential, but you must get up every day and go to the bank and make the withdrawals, because you have $1 billion of potential in a bank account that has only your name on it, but only you can withdraw it. Mm-hmm. And you do that through faith, through effort, through trust, through development, and remain humble and remain teachable, because that's a key. And that's a thing that's disappearing from our society today, is that people are filled with pride and attitude. Mm-hmm. Remain humble and you'll learn quickly, and surround yourself around positive, godly people that would inspire and help you develop your gift, and try to find, when possible, someone to mentor you, even if it's for a day, an hour, a week, a month. You know, we don't always get mentors day by day for our whole lives, but look for people that might speak into your life. So that's my advice. Amen. And believe in yourself, because God believes in you. And he's created you to do something very special in this world that only you can do. And this last thought, God created a secret melody inside every person's heart. It's like a secret access code, but only you can access it. And so your whole job in life is to discover that melody and then sing it to the top of your lungs, because it's a melody that the world needs to hear, but it's only your melody. There is no other like you, and there will never be another exactly like you. Amen. Everything about your life is unique and original. Embrace that and sing your song.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. And again, Zorro will be in the Baltimore, Maryland area on October 28, 2017 at the Eastern Assembly of God in Dundalk, Maryland, just off Weiss Avenue. And Zorro, I want to thank you so much for taking your time to be with us today on this program. And we are really looking forward to you coming to Baltimore. Amen.
Well, amen. And thank you so much, Bob, for the honor and privilege of the interview. And I'm looking forward to being with you and being a blessing to the people out there in the Baltimore, Maryland area.
Amen. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Zorro and myself, I want you to remember to be blessed in all that you do.